Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Fran Lewis. This is Literary Viewpoints. And get your paranormal gear on because this book is fantastic. We have New York Times bestselling author Tosca Lee and the Progeny. What happens when something happens in your life and you decide you need to wipe out who you are and your memories? What happens in a place called the center? And what happens when you leave the center and you realize you're not sure that you were ever really there? I'm not going to give away anymore because you're going to have to listen and find out for yourself. Better yet, get a couple of copies of the book. The 4th of July is coming. Going to sit on the beach and read. Sounds like a good thing to me. So, good morning, Tosca. How are you?
Good morning, Fran. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for doing this. I was so excited. As a matter of fact, I've interviewed so many people, but when I said it to someone yesterday, they go, "Are you serious?" And I go, "Yeah." obviously, in this particular office, you're quite famous. And they're and they looked at me and they go, "Oh, you're famous too." I go, "Yeah, right, okay." So we have Emily. And what made you decide to begin it with a girl who goes to a facility and has her memory wiped out? That was scary.
It is scary, and it's a scary thought. And it's scary to put yourself in those shoes and think, you know, how would I feel if I had to do something like this? What would drive me to that point? And, you know, what's really interesting is 2 years ago, Time magazine put an article out about experiments in which scientists have been able to actually turn off and on memories using things like light. And so it's actually possible that this may be available for people who suffer from things like PTSD. So it's really not that big of a stretch of imagination. And so the main character, Emily, as we know her at the beginning, has decided to erase the last 2 years of her memory, but we don't know why. And she goes to start over in a small cabin in the North Woods of Maine. And it's a very simple, quiet life, and she has a caretaker with her for a month as she gets her footing. And on the day that her caretaker, Claire, leaves her, Claire hands her a note and says, "You wrote this for yourself before your procedure." And Claire leaves. And the note says, "Emily, it's me, you. You don't remember the last 2 years. Don't go digging. Leave the past where it is. Live a simple life. Fall in love. Keep your face off the internet. And your life depends on it, and other lives depend on it. P.S. Your name isn't really Emily, and you died in a car accident. You paid extra for that."
That's just even scarier. There's a question in this cabin. She's been alone with her, and then she goes into town, and she meets Maggie, who I like, and she goes to the fly shop, and she meets this hunky guy called Luca, but she becomes involved with him, but you really don't know if you could trust him.
Yeah, throughout the entire book, that's the kind of central theme, is you don't know who you can trust the entire time.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard.
Yeah, including, you know, Emily doesn't even know if she can trust herself because she doesn't know exactly why she went through this procedure and what it is she's hiding or protecting. So there's always a question of who can she trust? Can she even trust herself?
That's what makes it even hard because she can't second guess, and you don't know what's going to happen. And on top of which, it gets even more complicated because she goes to this place, and then he invites her to a bar, and then she walks out and she meets Rohan. So why did he kidnap her? I mean, she's got two gorgeous guys there. Okay, great. And then you can't trust either one of them. And
yeah, she
I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, she meets one guy and then, you know, goes to hang out with him for a little bit, but then he doesn't show up when they're supposed to get together the next time, and suddenly this guy she's seen hanging around shows up back at her cabin and says, "You can't go meet that guy, Luca, the cute hunky one. He's out to kill you. You're being hunted," and that begins the book. And she goes on the run, and she's on the run for the entire book.
I know. The fact that she, well, I'm not going to say what happens to her, But I really love the line when you say, tell her name, and then she says, I don't know who I am. Or my name is Audra, and I don't know why I'm here, or I've never been here before. Mm-hmm. That's scary, because I had an accident when I was 17, and when I woke up, because I was unconscious, I had no idea who I was for quite some time.
My sister,
it is scary. What did my mother say? It's a pity you remember now. She was like, yeah, but very funny. It changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of understood. I said, for this day and a half, that it took me to open my pocketbook and look at a note that I must have written. It was a shopping list that my mother gave me, and go, yeah, I was going shopping now. Why am I here? And what happened? To this day, I couldn't even tell you. I know what happened, but I don't know why. And I don't know how the accident happened, because I don't remember, you know, who hit who. So it didn't really matter. So it's scary that you sit there and you're going, you're talking, and then she goes to find out with this Rohan to the center, and she finds out she was never there. That's even scarier.
Yeah, she does. She tries to retrace her tracks, and I won't say too much, but
no.
It becomes very difficult for her, because everywhere she thought she was, she can't find clues. It's like she was never there. So
that would really be scary, because that's almost like gaslighting somebody and making them think, you know, something happened, and in reality, you're not really sure if it did or if it didn't. You think you're losing your mind.
Right. And she does. Yeah. She does feel like she's losing her mind, or she does, you know, there's a definite aspect of, you know, and once again, she's not sure if she can even trust herself. So, but she also, the thing about her is about Emily/Audra is that she knows one thing. She knows that she's not crazy, and she knows that she's smart. So she's got those things to rely on. So she knows that much. And she is a very, very smart main character and very smart person. So to me, as an author, that's what really made her interesting, is her smarts and how she uses them.
She's smart, and she's not annoying smart, because I've read main characters where I wanted to kill off the main character and said,
which is never
main
good.
Character, which is, this dumb character is obnoxious. So I just finished a book, I won't say what the title of it was. It was interesting, and how the main character was an idiot. I mean, he fell for everything. He won $65 million. And he falls for a scam between two, that it was just like, why didn't you just walk away at the end?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you got to be kidding. He's going to continue with this? I mean, $65 million, and what happens at the end of the book was very clever on the author's part, but the character, he was an idiot. I was like, give me a break. So
yeah.
Audra finds out that her name is Audra Ellison, and she's related to Elizabeth Balfrey, who's a real person. Tell everyone about her, because she's even scarier. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. So the name of the book is The Progeny. And progeny, as you know, means descendants. And so the backstory we learn, and I'm not getting, this is not a spoiler, the backstory we learn is she's this descendant of Elizabeth Bathory, who is known as the infamous Blood Countess. And she's a real historical person. She lived 400 years ago. She's the most prolific female serial killer of all time. And she's rumored to have supposedly murdered some 600 young women. And so that's the story of Elizabeth Bathory. She's almost like a female counterpart to Vlad Tepes, who became Vlad the Impaler, whom we know as Dracula. So she's from that era, from that time period, from that even part of the world. And so there's this kind of dark history surrounding Elizabeth Bathory. But a lot of that, of course, has been glamorized by Hollywood and stuff like that. But yes, and it was a fan who wrote to me a few years ago, and because I've written several ancient historical novels, and it was a fan who said, why don't you do a story about Elizabeth Bathory? And I just tucked that idea away, and because I keep this file of ideas, and I had heard of Elizabeth Bathory. I knew a little bit about her, I mean, just the bare basics. And so when it was time to kind of, you know, figure out a new direction for my next book, I was looking through my idea file and all these snippets of things, and I came across this note from a fan named Keith, and I thought, huh, how could I do that? Because the thing is, I really wanted to switch gears from my historicals, and I really wanted to write some kind of contemporary thriller. And so what this is, The Progeny, is a contemporary thriller with a slight supernatural aspect to it, but it is based on these characters who are descended from this true historical character, true historical figure, Elizabeth Bathory. And I'll tell you, Fran, the craziest thing, while I was writing the story, my mother is a lifelong genealogist, and she's published, she's published probably about as many books as I have, but they're on different branches of the family and things like that. One of her distant relations is this guy named Sir Ian Moncrief, who is the Scottish baron, and he's related to Elizabeth Bathory. So I have a distant relational tie to Elizabeth Bathory myself. Yeah, but I didn't know this until I actually sat down and started writing it. My mom was like, huh, you know, there is some kind of distant tie here. And I was like, you're kidding. And I had no idea. So, yeah. So that's the story behind the story. And Elizabeth Bathory is a very fascinating figure. And fascinating because she's so vilified through history. But there's another side to that coin, and the side of that is she was extremely smart, extremely beautiful, spoke probably four languages, very literate, appreciated the arts, known as a loving mother to her children, supported churches and ministries, and was extremely wealthy, married to a national war hero. And after he died, she took control of her 20 estates, ran them all herself, insisted on calling in debts, which, you know, was the responsible thing to do because they had loaned out massive amounts of money, including money to the crown, King Matthias at the time, who later became Holy Roman Emperor. And so, you know, the conspiracy theorist in me believes that maybe there was a little bit more going on there than that she was just evil and killed all these girls. For which she was never convicted, by the way. She was instead walled up in one of her castles in a set of rooms, and she lived there for 4 years like that until she died. So
I read that, and I'm going, like, she sort of got away with it, but yet didn't. But
yeah.
In reality, I said, I'm surprised they just didn't burn her at the stake, but that would have been too easy, maybe. But she, well, of course, of who she was. And I read this, and I'm like, oh, my God. There are people today that would think she was wonderful, but there were people, there are people in the story that decided that there was a group of people that decided that her descendants, whose relatives were killed, they wanted to get rid of everyone that was related to her in the present.
Right.
And that's even scarier.
Right.
Oh, God.
So there are three factions in the book. There are the descendants of Elizabeth Bathory, which our main character realizes she is one. And then there are the people that are hunting them, who have been around almost as long as since Elizabeth passed away 400 years ago and have been systematically hunting them for hundreds of years. And then there's a third group, which I won't say, but they are there trying to help, and they are the helpers in the situation.
We're not going to say who they are because that wouldn't be good.
so
we've got Rohan and Luca. And Rohan defines himself as a watcher. But is he really a watcher? In other words, implying that he's watching over her. But it's hard to tell, you know, who's really watching who and who she really needs to get away from.
And who's really helping who. Yeah,
in the sense he is. And he's really, you know, I'm going to take you here, and I'm going to feed you. You're going to be okay. And I'm saying he's too good to be true. And then the other one is even better. And I'm going, like, even at the end of the book, you're not quite sure who they trust.
Yep. If they're too good to be true, they might be too good to be true. That's just the general the general rule throughout the entire book. But this book has a lot of twists and turns in it, and I really liked it that way because, you know, when I was younger and I first started thinking about writing stories and writing novels and first started envisioning doing this as a career, started dreaming about doing this as a career. I was 19, and I was telling my dad how my favorite books were like good roller coasters, and they take you on those high hills, and then they drop you down, and your stomach's, you know, way back behind you, and then you go upside down. And for me, you know, switching from the historical, the straight historical genre to a contemporary thriller was my opportunity to build a fun roller coaster for readers to ride on. So that's what this does, and it's got lots of twists and turns in it.
I think I wrote that, something like that, in my review. I don't remember. It takes me a while. You know, I read the book, and then I'm sitting there taking notes, that I destroy the book. I just write in it, and then I'm circling, and then I'm saying, well, this is interesting. And then I say to myself, you need to take the book inside so that you remember what you circled. Now I remember it anyway. And then I go back over it and then go like, did that really happen? And yeah, because I don't want, a review shouldn't be just like, oh, this book is about, or it has to be different. It has to just, it has to say something. That's just the words have to speak to me so that people are going to want to read it, and people are reading it. And the minute I post this review, people read it. And I
well,
was
thank
lucky
you.
Because, yeah, they read everything. It's scary. Anytime I post something on my review site, Just Reviews, 5 minutes later I get a comment. Or if I put it on LinkedIn, I get a comment. If I put it on Facebook, you never know what kind of comment you're going to get.
Right.
Yeah, I ignore a lot. I mean, someone once said, oh, your book reviews are fantastic. They're detailed. Why are they so long? I said, because they are, and if you don't like it, don't read them, was my answer, because, yeah, he was getting, like, rude. So who are Anna and Nino and Claudia and her adopted brother? There's one person I'm going to leave out because that would give it away. Okay.
So those characters, Anna, Nina, Claudia, and this guy who's running around with Claudia, they're all they are all similar to Audra in that they are descendants of Elizabeth Bathory as well, and they come from different parts of Europe. You know, one of them is oh gosh, I have to think back now. You know, one of them's Polish, and one of them's from Croatia, and one's from Romania. And so, like, they're from different parts of Europe, but they all have this same blood in their veins. And so the cool thing about these descendants throughout the book is they do have, they don't have superpowers, but they do have, you know, over the last few hundred years, they've adapted to their situation. They're you know, being on the run and being hunted, and they do have some subtle, I would call them suggestive powers. And so that's the supernatural element in the book. And it's just fun. It makes it fun, but it's also not so far beyond the realm of the believable that it's so, you know, fantastic or so fantastical. So that's the group that Audra finds herself running with when she goes on the run from Maine back to Europe, because the story takes her from the U.S. to Croatia and then back to the ancient borders of where Elizabeth Bathory lived and that whole area. I mean, it really brings her home in a sense, in the historical sense. And that was super fun because, you know, I'm really big into research, and so one of the things I did before I started even outlining the novel is I packed my bags and I called up my mom and I said, do you want to go to Europe with me? And my mom loves to travel. We've been many places together. That's kind of one of our favorite things to do, is just travel around and see new things. And she was packing her bags immediately. She said, yes, I'm coming with you. So we went over to Italy and Croatia and Hungary and Slovakia, and it was a trip that involved planes and buses and cars and trains, and saw a lot of really cool stuff, including the castle where Elizabeth Bathory was walled up, and which is in ruins now, but you can still go to the ruins and walk around in them, and it was fascinating. So that was super cool. So researching the progeny, 2 weeks over in Europe, it was a wonderful time. And actually, I did put, Fran, for readers of the book, I do have a Pinterest board under Tosca Lee, under my name, and it's called The Real Progeny, and it has many pictures from that trip of the actual locations in the book.
I'm going to have to look that up later because I have about 20 Pinterest boards that I've created. And it's fun. I should say, I'll blog them out. My nephew just opened up a business in Florida, Davey Fit Bodies, and it's one of the best gyms in the world. So I created 2 Pinterest boards for him with all of his, trainers and all of his classes and stuff. And then I have a couple with all of my books and things like that. So I play with it because I don't get a chance to do it too often, but it's fun when I get bored on my phone.
I love Pinterest.
Yeah.
I've done boards for every one of my books, and then a board, of course, for the progeny that has, you know, cool pictures. But then I did the second one called The Real Progeny that has the real life locations and some of the objects and different things that are mentioned in the book. So
I'm gonna have to look that up. But I had a problem because I have a thing called a board that says positive sayings and thoughts that I created just for people to know that there are better ways to look at life. And obviously, when I posted like 1 or 2 of them, it wasn't against me. It was whoever the person was where I saved it from. They have copyrights. So it was like the third time that happened, and they said we had to remove one of your pins because somebody took it and was not supposed to post it. So that happens ever so often with Pinterest. They're very careful. I really like them, and I love Scoop It because I could post my reviews there, and people read them all over the place. So it just takes time to post everything.
It is time consuming.
It is. I mean, I posted a review that I had to post for Partners in Crime today. Student bodies, if you want to read about what happens in a school when the administration doesn't care and the teachers don't care, because they're just there, the administration is just there so the school doesn't close, and what happens to these kids and these girls, you got to read that book. It was really good. And as an educator, I got really angry as I'm reading it because this principal deserved what she got at the end, and if not, she deserved even more. So we talk about Tibor, and what was his link to Tibor? We can't forget Tibor.
Oh, Tibor. So Tibor is, well, I don't want to say too much about who he is.
Yeah.
He's a prominent figure in the progeny world. And so the story, you know, is that when Audra goes over to Europe, she reconnects with some of the people she knew before. Some people who are also like her progeny, you know, descendants of Elizabeth Bathory, and she goes basically underground to underground Europe, and they call it the underground, and it is literally where the progeny go to safely meet, and it is literally underground. It's some of the funnest part of the book for me. It's very I don't want to say too much, but it's very wild and very, very exuberant. And it's, you know, their culture, the progeny culture in the book is all about celebrating life because their lives are very, are especially precious given the fact that they're being hunted and that none of them ever really live too long because they're being hunted and systematically, you know, wiped out. So, So Tibor is a prominent
figure. I don't
want
to say too much,
She's
pretty, you know, brave because she knows she's being hunted, yet she moves around, and she has to be afraid of not getting caught. And she's caught in the middle of a lot of mess because she doesn't know whether she should trust Rohan, who pops up all of us, or Luca, or any of them. So it's amazing that Audra can exist. But my one of my favorite lines, and I have everything in front of me. I'm going to put my glasses back on so I can see what I wrote. It's on page 137 where she says, "I am Audra Ellison. I'm in a country I do not remember, and with a man I barely know, who all the accounts I do not should not trust. My only tie to real Angus has just died, has just whatever. Does this make Audra, when things happen, does that make her an accomplice to murder or anything? Or is she really basically innocent?
So in, at that point of that line, somebody's just died, and, you know. And,
yeah,
and
we didn't say
so
who.
She's, yeah, we won't say who, but she's somebody's just died, and she's wondering, you know, does this, am I implicit in this?
Oh, what happened? What happened? Oh, shit. Goodness gracious, gracious. Wetha's got to call back in because I don't know what just happened. She got disconnected. I have no idea. I don't know what happened just now. I'm waiting for Tosca Lee to call back in. I don't know what happened with her connection. I'm going to email her. And then meanwhile, I'm going to tell you about interesting news. I have a show on July 20th, and I'm going to be talking to Robert Degoni in The Clearing, and I'm going to wait for the author to call back in. I don't know what... Oh, here she is. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea what happened.
I don't either, but I'm back.
I don't know. I'm glad. I just emailed you to call back in, and I'm saying, like, she just disappeared, and I didn't go near the phone. Honest people, I did not touch the phone. I didn't touch the icon. I don't know. Well, that's good. Anyway, as I started to say before, on July 20th at 10 a.m., Robert Degoni's new book, In the Clearing, we're going to talk to him, and this is the second in the Detective Tracy Crosswhite series. And he works it in two time periods, and this is a really interesting case that she wants to help her friend, because it's a murder case from 40 years ago, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And let's go on with what we were saying. Audra gets some letters, and what is the significance of the letters, and what are they supposed to be telling her?
Well, I can't say too much about that because it's a little farther in the book, but she does run across some of the things that used to be in her possession. I don't want to say who they're from.
No,
but,
no, I didn't say that.
Yeah, yep, there's a stash of stuff that she manages to track down, and they turn out to be very useful in answering a great number of questions for her.
Well, that's why I didn't use the name of the person that they told her who it was. See,
right.
No, you don't want to give that away. But there's also another guy there. I'm not going to say his name. It's up to you. If you want to talk about the Budapest guy.
Oh, yeah. So
he's evil, but you don't like him, though.
There's a couple kind of shady characters throughout this story.
I love bad characters. They're my favorite.
The shady ones. Well, and
the bad ones are good.
The good ones, you know, the shady ones, you know, we're not sure about, and the good ones, we're not sure about them either. So, there's a guy in Budapest. So, I'll just say this. I'll say that everywhere Audra goes, she meets deeper, you know, characters with deeper and deeper ties to this heritage of Elizabeth Bathory. And the deeper she goes, the more powerful these characters are and the more danger that she's in. But that's why we like thrillers, right? Because, you know, the twists and turns get bigger and the stakes get higher and the danger becomes more. So, yeah, but the guy that Fran that you're talking about is definitely a dangerous fellow.
Yeah, he's scary, but you got to like him for some reason.
Yeah, you know, and I that's the thing about, you know, maybe that's just a quirk of mine as an author, but I like when the characters that we don't trust or the characters that we, you know, our gut is telling us are not trustworthy or not good people. I like it when they're kind of likable, and I like it when we find ourselves drawn to them anyway, because I think that that's also how real life is, too.
That's true, and I like the fact that everything doesn't go exactly perfect. Because and when you're reading a murder mystery, and if the main character, you know, wins in 5 minutes or doesn't get into any kind of danger, you begin to wonder, like, I'm going to fall asleep reading this. And
right.
It's not that you want something bad to happen, but you want something to prove that the main character has some kind of gumption or guts to do something and is not a wimp and is going to be able to do something. I mean, even a detective, if everything goes great in a case and they, you know, everything goes right and the judge doesn't put them down in court, they're like, that's boring.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, if there's no danger. Yeah, if there's no danger, no conflict, then you really don't have a story.
There's plenty of it in this one, that's for sure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you doing your review, too.
Oh, I had such a good time. And you know what happened? I saw you on Facebook, and I'm going like, how come I never reviewed her book? This is not good. And I was so glad that you answered me, because sometimes people don't. And I'm like, oh, well, what could I tell you?
I really tried to answer. Thank you. I try to answer all my...
And your publicist answered me in 5 minutes after you told her to.
Wonderful. I try to answer all my emails. I try to answer all my messages on social media. It's hard sometimes, and sometimes it takes me a few days or weeks, but I do answer. So.
Yeah, me too. I got a request for a review from someone on LinkedIn yesterday, and I didn't realize it was there. Because I don't go on too often. I just post things. And I'm saying, oh, my God, there's an email from this man on Wednesday for a review, but he wanted to send me a digital copy. And I said, I'm really sorry that I didn't respond, but I don't read digital. I only read print. And if I have to print the book out, he says, I'll send it to you anyway. I go like, are you sure? I've had people do that. I go like, you don't have to do that. It's okay. I can give you the names of other people that can review. I said, nope, we want you to do it. I go, okay, whatever. So I appreciate it. So on page 249, you share the family tree of Emily and Audra. How did you create that? Because that was interesting.
This is the benefit of having a mother who is a lifelong genealogist. So I've seen so many family trees. And through her books and her work in writing, I've seen so much of my own family tree. So it was easy to create in that aspect, and it was interesting to, you know, include some of the little surprises in Audra's backstory in that. And there is this long kind of undercurrent of genealogy and family history, and I mean naturally because, you know, it's called the progeny, and it is all about the descendants of, you know, Elizabeth Bathory, this so-called blood countess. So. That was actually a really fun part for me to create. But, yeah, having been around genealogy my whole life, it's just that was a fun, easy thing to do. I'll tell you a funny story. You know, my mother, when I was young, we'd spend our summers going to different places, to courthouses and cemeteries to look up either court records, you know, or marriage certificates or, land certificates or things like that, as she was tracking down these people farther and farther back in the family line. And she would also take us to cemeteries so that, she could find and locate different tombstones or where different people were buried. And so I just thought my mother was really into dead people. And so when we were going on family vacations in the summer, whenever we saw a cemetery, my sister and I would point to it and be like, Mom, cemetery, because we just thought she was really into cemeteries. So anyway, so for Audra's genealogy, dating back to the blood countess Elizabeth Bathory, that was just, it was fun to fill in some of the blanks for the reader and to add a few more wrenches along the way.
Well, then you did your own family tree to find out that you're related to her.
Yeah,
in a way.
Crazy. Yeah.
I always wanted to do ours because there's a lot of family members that I know about, but I don't know where they are on my grandparents' side. And I tried to find my grandfather's brother and his family, and I found my grandmother's family by accident.
That's what happens, too. I mean, you go back and then
weird.
You find all these secrets and interesting things. And, today they use DNA to help people locate family members and ancestors. And actually, at the beginning of the story, that is one of the things that has come about to bring this story, you know, to this present time and to make things absolutely more dire and more deadly and more dangerous for the main character and for her friends, because these days, you know, you can send in your DNA and you can find out who you're related to. Well, imagine if you're part of a descendant of a particular person and that whole line is being hunted. You know, it'd be very easy. It becomes much more dangerous for those particular people who, you know, when they know that they're being hunted, have to go into hiding. But what if you don't know? So,
well, there's some kind of a kit or something that you get and you have to send it in to them?
Yeah, you can do some kind of kit. And I haven't done it myself, but my mother has helped people locate, you know, like their birth fathers or things like that. But it's available, like, at the major genealogy sites today. So
I've always wanted
yeah.
to do that, but I wrote a book about my mom's. My mom had Alzheimer's, so it's called In Her Own Words, an Alzheimer's Sufferer's Journal, and it does very well, and I happened to put it on my Facebook wall that it came out, and then I put the first one that I wrote about her memories are precious, and all of a sudden I get a private message from someone in England that says that she thinks we're related. When she sent me her the family tree and sent me the pictures, I go, oh my God, your father was my grandfather's uncle, and her father's going to be like 99 or 100. And I've been corresponding with her on Facebook. She's in England, and I was like, I have a whole grandmother's family, whole grandfather's family. My grandmother I know had 5 sisters, but we don't know what happened to the other two. So it's like a major mystery that I'm one of these days. Yeah, I'm going to solve it. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
What happens to her? Yeah, she, you know, she goes and Claire. Claire doesn't. She goes to the center. There's no record of her ever being there, and no record of Claire ever being there. Now that would scare me, because here you're staying with this person for so long. So how do you deal with something like that? That's scary.
Yeah, it is very scary. Yeah, the problem is, you know, she's we're back at the beginning of the story here. So she's erased the last 2 years of her memory, and when she tries to, you know, track down where her records are and stuff, because now she realizes she's being hunted, and now she realizes Emily, who has now realized her name is Audra, now she realizes that she's protecting something. By having erased it from her memory, but at the same time, all that she needs to survive is also among the stuff that she erased. So she goes back to try to retrace her steps, and there's just no record of her anywhere. And so her hope of trying to recapture or retrace her steps is it's gone. And so that's what ultimately drives her to go to Europe and try to reconnect there and try to go on the run and try to find out what's going on, and also to go into hiding, because there's a whole community in Europe, naturally, because that's where Elizabeth Bathory came from, but there's a whole community of other people like her, and that is actually the meat of the book. That's the most fun part for me, is when she reconnected with the other descendants and the other progeny like her. Those were some really fun scenes. I won't get into it too much, but it's very vibrant, and there's cool stuff, cool costumes, cool clothes. I'm a girl. I like the clothes. I like that stuff. So of course that's all in there. And on Pinterest, there's also a board called Claudia's Closet, and you come across Claudia's Closet in the book, and it's just filled full of awesome, cool stuff. And so we've actually got a board on Pinterest under my name, under Tosca Lee, and fans helped build this board, and they submitted pictures and different things of what they thought, you know, represented would be, you know, Claudia's Closet. So we've got some of the crazy stuff in there. So definitely, if you read the book and want to follow along and want some visuals to go with it, check it out on Pinterest, and it's Tosca, T-O-S-C-A, Lee, L-E-E, so you can find all that there.
This was really, I'll tell you, it's exciting, because, you know, the fact that your mother loves cemeteries, you know, sometimes you go to a, yeah, I do that too. It's terrible. Yeah. Where my sister is and my mom is, they don't take care of it very well. And I think that's why I wrote my Faces Behind the Stone series, because they tell their story from behind the gravestone. But I've gone to other cemeteries, and I've walked around, and I've said, I wonder what this person would tell me if I knew him. Or mm-hmm. I wonder if he could tell me his story, what his story is.
Right.
And you just and they don't write anything. You know, they'll write loving mother, father, whatever, but nobody writes physicist, chemist, or whatever. You get,
right.
like, very little. And I'm looking at a whole family of beautiful stones that I'm going, like, I wonder who you really are. Were you murderers? Were you killers?
Right.
Did you do something important in life that we should know about? And sometimes I just write down the names of them, and I'll say, well, I'm not going to use the last name, but I may use the person
mm-hmm.
and make up their story. Because
I always wonder what the stories are. I always wonder what their lives
yeah.
were like or their secrets were. I always wonder about the secrets.
Yeah. I wonder that also, because you don't know. And sometimes, you know, when you go to the cemeteries and the stone is overturned and they don't fix it, I wonder, what did you do that made somebody just want to rip your stone out? Or
right.
did it just happen as an act of God? Well, before I forget, my picks for this month, besides The Progeny by Tosca Lee, which is really one of my great picks, is In the Clearing by Robert Degoni, Revenants, The Odyssey Home by Scott Kaufman. That was a really interesting book. Shelley Shepherd Gray, A Daughter's Dream. I love her writing. It's so amazing. And those are the ones that I think that everybody should get and read, except for my book, Hidden Truths and Lies by Guess Who Over Here. And that came out April 7th, and you can find it on Partners in Crime, and you can go along and write a comment, a nice one, on the at the blog, during the blog tour. And what's next for Art Wardra? I mean, I think that's my favorite line is at the end, the last line in the book, but I'm not going to read it. So what's next for her?
Well, you know, book two, there's a sequel, and
yeah.
It was important to me that book come out soon. I mean, my books are normally a year, year and a half apart, but the second book comes out in February. And I don't have the exact date, but books always release mm-hmm. on a Tuesday, so it'll be a Tuesday in February, and all that information will, I keep, you know, everything up to date on my website, which is toscalee.com. So if you read The Progeny and you love it and you want to keep reading, the
mm-hmm.
conclusion happens in February. So this is not a trilogy. I know trilogies are really popular right now. But, you know, when I was growing up, there were a lot of just books and sequels, and
yeah.
I liked that, and I miss it. So this is this has just one sequel, so you don't have to wait for, like, 8 more books to come out to continue the adventure. You don't have to be constantly waiting for the next one. So, and it is done, and I am in the middle of edits right now, and so it'll be... And I have to tell you, it's not up yet. Mm-hmm. I have not shared it yet, but I will soon. The cover to the second book is amazing, just as the cover to the first book is amazing. I mean, don't you love that cover, Fran?
That was my next question, because I'm bad with this. The cover on the book is beautiful, and the scenery is gorgeous, and the fact that it's on another there's another language on the left, you can
mm-hmm.
tell. So
mm-hmm.
and you could see Audra's face. At
mm-hmm.
the top, which is scary. Just one eye is like almost purple, and the other one is blue. So
mm-hmm.
that was my other question, because a lot of authors have a problem with the cover and the inside flap. So who decided
mm-hmm.
on it? Who picks it
you
out?
Know,
do you get to pick it out,
yeah.
or does the publisher?
You know, the publisher is the one who creates the cover and ultimately
mm-hmm.
Designs the packaging. For the book,
mm-hmm.
I publish with an imprint of Simon & Schuster called Howard Books, and they are fabulous. And
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of, you know, the process, you know, as I'm finishing a manuscript and turning it in, they always ask, you know, what are your ideas? What's your input? You know, what do you envision? And then we go from there. And this cover was very special because it had a lot of input from various teams at Simon & Schuster, from their New York office, and I think it shows
mm-hmm.
and just the quality of the cover. I mean, it looks like a movie poster, and it's so stunning. And the title is, I mean, if you look at it in person, the title is printed in gold. I mean, it's metallic gold. And it's just beautiful. And that's why I'm so excited, too, for the second book, because the action is amped up. The first book takes off running, and the second one just keeps going twice as fast. And the cover is just gorgeous, and it's amazing. So I'm so excited. These are my favorite covers of any covers I've had so far.
Well, you know I'm going to comment when I see it.
What I really
love is that I got this one. But normally when I get them, like Steve Berry, Daniel Palmer, or any of them, I get them the advanced copies, so I miss out on the cover.
So much can change.
Yeah, and I don't get the cover. I get the book, and then I get unedited books. And what I found is that there are a lot of people out there that are kind of rude. And, you read a book, and it's unedited, and it says it on the front. If there are mistakes, well, too bad. And I've gotten people that have reviewed the same books as I've reviewed. I've picked out in a couple of books by New York Times authors that definitely have, grammar errors or whatever. And I'm certainly not going to say anything about it because I figure if it's an unedited book, they're going to figure it out themselves. And besides, that's not why I'm there. I'm not there to criticize, editing or however they do it or whatever, because I know that, like myself, you go through a lot of edits. It's not just one. It's maybe five or maybe 10, maybe 20, until you think that book says what you want it to say. I mean, I'm looking at the cover. I think the title, The Progeny in Gold, scares you just looking at the title. You don't know. And then it says on the right, she's a descendant of a serial killer. Now she's the hunted. And I'm going like, oh my God, what am I reading? But you have no idea. And then there's not too many comments, which is great because there's a whole bunch on the back that are really and keep me on the edge from the first page until the last.
People.
Those are great comments. But then I wonder, did the people read them? Did they read the book? You can do better than that. They want to. J.T. Ellison, I love her work because she wrote with she writes with Catherine Coulter. And
yes,
I read
she's
four
a friend
of their
of
books.
Mine. Yeah, that they.
But she needs
they,
to send me more. She needs to send me some of her own.
I'll tell her.
Because
it was. It was fun asking for these blurbs for the covers because the people who gave me the endorsements, and endorsements are the little quotes that say, this is irresistible, you must read it, and all that stuff. But so many of the people who, read it and gave the blurbs for the covers said, where's the second one? And at the time, I had just finished the first, and I said, well, it's not written yet. And they said, as soon as you write the second one, please send it to me. So I always take that as a
good
sign. I take it as a good sign if they give me a blurb for the cover, but I take it as an extra good sign if they are wanting or requiring the next one too. So,
well, that's what it says on the back cover. But what I really love, what your publicist did, to get somebody into the book, to get to know Audra Emily. I'm 21 years old, and my name doesn't matter because it's about to be erased forever on the back cover. And that's rare that you get something that's just short, sweet, and doesn't take up a lot of space, but says, like, I want to read this. Plus, we've got the flap on the side. And who decides on the cover flap? Because I know when I interviewed, and I'm going to try to see if I can get her again, Iris Johansson, and I read the cover flap of the book, but not on the air because I knew better, because they gave it away.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, they gave it away. As a matter of fact, I read some of the Amazon things, and I emailed her publicist, and I said, not only did they give it away, but they wrote the wrong names of the characters when they described the book. I pick it out in 5 minutes. If there's a character flaw, I'm going to see it. So they changed it because she had a fit. And I read it to her before the show started. I go, I'm not reading that on the air because they're going to tell, I knew, I figured it out in 5 minutes. And the book was, she's great. But who figures out the cover flap and just how much information? Just when you wake up, you remember nothing. That's so, that is scary, trust me.
You know, it's a with my publisher, it's a collaboration, and so they may say, "Hey, what are your ideas for the back cover and for the flap?" Mm-hmm. And I'll send something. These are some things that I had written, and so we just tweaked it a little bit, and that's what we used. And so, you know, I'm fortunate in that they allow me to craft those portions. And actually, that cool back cover part, you know, that says when you wake up, you remember nothing, and it puts you right in Emily's shoes. That was Amanda, my associate editor, and she said, you know, I think something like this would be really cool. And I love that idea, so I wrote that little segment there based on her suggestion, and I think it's worked really well. So.
Yeah, because it links to the front cover. And it links to what they wrote in the blurb, because they don't give anything away.
Yeah,
every
we don't want to give anything away.
In
I mean,
past.
The covers are there just to say, here's what this is about, and to be like a little appetizer and tease, you know, your appetite out so that you will want to read it without, you know, telling you the story. Because that's why you get the book, is to get the story.
Which is great, because I didn't know about Rohan or Luca or anybody else until I started to read the book. And then I read the prologue with Claire, and I'm going, like, there's something very mysterious about this. And it took me a minute to go, like, she went in and that's what happened? And you don't really know what happens in the prologue. You don't really know. She went in and they, you know, she's doing a procedure, but you have no idea what the procedure
is. Exactly what, And you find out later.
I know. It's scary. Oh, what can I say? So where can everyone find out everything they need to know about you and more?
Well, now that's scary, the way you say that. Everything they need to know. Everything is on my website at toscalee.com, and it's toscalee.com. And if you go there, you can learn about all of my books. You can learn more about the progeny. Updates on the sequel coming out in February will be there. I do contests and I do giveaways, and all my social media links are there as well. So that is the hub to go, so just toscalee.com, and everything's there.
Well, I intend to go to Pinterest later.
Oh, please
and,
do.
I intend to see it, because I love, you know, stuff like that, and maybe we can put some of that stuff on my boards, too.
Wonderful.
I have
links are on my website, too, so you can find
them. Oh, good. I have such a good time with that. And I just figured out how to share some Instagram stuff on Facebook. I finally picked up the right icon, and then I picked up something else this morning that was on Pinterest, and I go, like, oh, you could do that, too? You know, when you get bored and you're reading and you're saying, like, I got to rest my eyes, I'm going to go play with my phone. And I can't read on my phone. And I started to watch some television programs, and I'm going, like, don't do that either, because my eyes are bothering me. That's why you don't read PDF or movies or any of that. But sometimes you just, like, you hit on something and go, like, oh, that's really interesting. Wait a minute, let me go on my computer and find it. So this is so really, really great. I'm going to be doing a panel show in September with authors that write paranormal. And
the
type of books that you do that I'm going to let you know about, because I'm like I said, I'm taking time off in August to not deal with the dentist if I don't have to. But I'm going to be doing two panel shows. One is for authors that use two time periods and how they manage to have the plot flow. And I think I know. Yeah, it's interesting. You've got John Land and Alan Topol and Steve Berry, and Robert DeGoni's new book is in two time periods. But they know how to tell the story, and they know how to use the two time periods. And they're those that need to take lessons like me to do that. And then I read a whole bunch of paranormal ones, so I will let you know, because I'm going to invite you on that one.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
What we do is we talk about how you create the paranormal quality and how you create the fact that there's a hidden meaning, or there's a hidden witch, or there's something, she has telepathy or something like that. So we talk in general of different things, and I come up with questions that are really Related to the book, but not really, but more related to the genre and how you write the book and how you edit the book and how you decide to get that. It's always that first page, too, that gets, that gets the reader in. And in this particular case, you did in 10 seconds. So,
well, wonderful.
Thank you.
That's
thank
a
you
very
so
important
much.
Part of writing to me. Yeah.
Yeah, this is fun. It's hard. It's hard to know that first paragraph, that first word. And to be very honest, as a reviewer, and I've been doing this for a while, and I've read over, they tell my husband thinks I've read over 5,000 books. I haven't really counted. But he's very grateful to all the authors, seriously, that send them to me, because he says he keeps me out of the bookstore buying them. And he thinks I save a lot of money.
It's an expensive habit.
I know, it was an expensive habit, and I can tell you now that my brother-in-law is in from Florida, and I think I'm going to see him again next week, and he said I better give him the book.
Well, I guess you better give him the book then.
No, I think he should go buy it himself, personally.
Well,
but
even better.
If he really wants it, I'll give him this one, but I guarantee when I give it to him, he's going to buy a Kindle, because he likes Kindle. So,
you
can
read all over
yeah.
this book too. So, you know, it's got your notes.
I did write all over
everything.
The book, but he doesn't seem to really care that I did it. And I write notes on the side, like this part is this, or the character does this, so that I remember it when I review the book. And then I go inside and I'm saying, like, you're supposed to have the book with you to remember. I remember everything. It's scary. Thank you so much, and I hope I get an advanced copy with the cover of the new
Absolutely.
One. Do you have a title?
It is called Firstborn.
Firstborn?
Firstborn.
That's,
yep.
Oh, wow. That's scary,
so,
too.
So, coming in February, yep. And it's it was a lot of fun, and it's I think it's better than the first book, so you can be the judge of that when you get it and
I will.
Check it out. Okay.
I will, and I truly hope that my hunks are in there, or I'm not going to ask which characters you're bringing back, because you're going to have to read the first book to figure out who you want to know in this. I would love to see pictures of these two also.
Yeah, you want to know. Well, I do have a couple of pictures of what they might look like up on Pinterest, so.
I'm going to find them. Don't worry.
You
Thank you so much. have a great day, and like I said,
Thank
the 4th
you,
of
Fran.
July is coming up. You're welcome, and it's going to be a beautiful beach day, so get a book and sit under a tree or sit under an umbrella and read The Progeny. You'll have a much better time. Thank you so much, and have a great day, everybody, and bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.